Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me now, I have Todd Leibowitz from the national law firm Baker Hostetler, and he's going to help us make sense of Assembly Bill 5, which is AB 5, and it makes it harder to classify workers as independent contractors in the state, and we'll talk about what that actually means to businesses in California. So thank you very much for joining me today, Todd. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, so tell us about Assembly Bill 5, AB 5. What is the purpose of the bill?
The bill changes what it means to be an employee in California. It changes the definition of who is an independent contractor and who is an employee. So this law is going to take thousands of independent contractor relationships across the state of California and convert them overnight into employment relationships. And that's going to be eye-opening to a lot of employers and businesses and contractors across the state.
And why do they feel they needed to pass this bill?
Well, what we've been hearing from the legislators who have been sponsoring the bill is that they think that independent contractors are being taken advantage of, that many of them get denied the basic protections that employees get. So, for example, if I'm an employee, I'm entitled to a minimum wage, I'm entitled to overtime. Under California state law, I'm entitled to reimbursement of my expenses. I'm entitled to daily overtime if I work more than 8 hours, which is different than under federal law. I'm entitled to meal and rest breaks. And so the idea has been that there are a number of people out there who have traditionally been called independent contractors and treated as independent contractors, and they don't get those things. And so AB 5, by making it tougher for an independent contractor to remain an independent contractor, will convert a lot of those people to employees, for better or worse, depending on your perspective.
Now, is this in direct response to complaints from Uber and Lyft drivers?
It's hard to say. There's been a lot of discussion for a long time about what should the proper test be for who is a contractor and who is an employee. I think when you look at the rideshare industry, for example, you have a lot of people on both sides. You have a lot of people who would say they prefer to be independent contractors, and there's certainly a vocal number who say they would prefer to be employees. It's hard to say what's driving this, but this bill is not directed at any industry in particular. It does have a number of carve-outs and exemptions. So you could say that the lobbies for some of these industries, like the estheticians and barbers and real estates, is maybe stronger than for some other industries. But it's hard to say exactly what's driving this, other than a general feeling that there are contractors out there being taken advantage of. And I think some contractors would say, that's great, I'd rather be an employee, but I think there's a lot of contractors out there who would say, I prefer the freedom of being an independent contractor, I don't want to be an employee.
Now, there is a criteria for who is an independent contractor and who is not. They have to meet a certain test. It's called the ABC test. Tell us about that. Where did it come from?
Right, so the ABC test originated, at least the California version, originated with a California Supreme Court case in the middle of 2016 called Dynamex. And the court in that case changed the law in terms of how you determine whether somebody is a contractor or an employee. Historically, in California, there had been a balancing test. And there are a number of factors that would be looked at, and mostly they would relate to the extent of control that the hiring party exerts over the prospective contractor. And so some factors might weigh in favor of contractor, some factors might weigh in favor of employee, and you balance them, and a judge makes a determination and issues a ruling. An ABC test is different in kind, because rather than a balancing test, you have to meet all three factors in order to be an independent contractor. So factor A relates to control. And it's similar to a right to control test. The more control that's exerted over how the contractor performs the services, the more likely it is that that person is an employee. So that would be part A. I'll skip to part C. Part C relates to how closely the person's work resembles being an independent business person. Do they advertise? Do they have other clients? Things like that. Do they have their own place of business? So parts A and part C are really balancing tests, but part B is not. Part B, in order to meet part B in California, you have to prove that the work being done is not in the usual course of business of the hiring party. So again, in California, you've got to meet all three. And part B is the really hard one to meet for a lot of industries. That's where there's going to be the most litigation, I think.
Okay. Now, what about the new law that makes it such a significant change in California?
So California used to have a balancing test that was, so for example, you would look at the types of factors that go to part A, the right to control factors. You would look at the types of issues that relate to part C, how closely does somebody's work resemble having their own business. But it was a balancing act, and now it's not. Now in order to prove that somebody is a contractor, you have to prove that you have to prove part A, that you do not exert control over how they perform the work, part B, that the work is not done in the usual course of your business, and part C, that the person has their own business. And you have to meet all three. It's not just a balancing test anymore. So that's a drastic change in California law.
And what options do businesses have for dealing with this new law?
Well, that's the ultimate question, right? That's what a lot of businesses are struggling with right now. And there's really quite a range of options. We started getting questions from our clients about this many months ago as they could see that this was likely to pass. So what we try to do is come up with a playbook of a full range of options. And for some employers, some businesses, some of these options are going to work, and for some others will work, and for some none are very desirable. But the range of options, I mean, really fall into three general categories. One would be convert your contractors to employees, and that could be done either under all laws or under just California laws, although doing it under just California laws and still treating people as contractors under federal law could create a new set of problems. At the other end of the spectrum would be just basically run. If you do business in multiple states and you don't do a lot of business in California, a viable option is going to be stop using contractors in California. And I think that you'll see that from some multi-state companies that have a relatively small presence in California. And then the middle of the spectrum is more the hybrid approach, where there's two possible options for the hybrid approach. One would be use a large contractor model. Do subcontract out work to a large established business who will only use employees, regular W-2 employees. They will not further subcontract it out. And then the part of your work that you used to be subcontracting to a whole bunch of individual independent contractors, instead you'll have a business-to-business relationship with a vendor who has its own employees. That's one way to go. Another way to go, and it's also in the middle of the spectrum, would be more of a staffing agency model, where you tell all of the contractors that now under AB5, you have to be somebody's employee, and so you bring them under the umbrella of a staffing agency who will treat them as its employees and respect California employment law with respect to those individuals. Now, all of these have pros and cons. There's traps to all of them. There's unintended consequences to all of them. But that's essentially a snapshot of the range of options that California businesses have.
Are there parts of this statute that are going to go into litigation? I'm sure with everything in California, everything eventually goes into litigation, good or bad. How clear or unclear is this new law in that respect?
So there's a lot of ambiguities in the law. there are parts of it I think are not particularly clear in how they're written. I think the litigation will probably fall into two categories. There are a lot of exemptions to the law. That's one area where there's some lack of clarity. So there will certainly be litigation over whether certain types of independent contractors fall within one of the exemptions. And if the exemption applies, it doesn't mean the person's a contractor. It just means that the old balancing test applies. And then the other area where I expect there to be a lot of litigation is, what does it mean to be in the usual course of business? How closely related does the work of the contractor have to be to the core function of what the company does? And so in some cases, that's a really easy question to answer. So if you're an accounting firm and you hire a contractor to empty your trash or to fix your toilets or to wash your windows, that's not part of the usual course of your business. Clearly, you meet the B test there. But you start thinking about a lot of ways that other companies use independent contractors, and it's not always so clear. Maybe you sell a product, but you don't assemble it or you don't install it. Well, is the installation or assembly of a product that you sell, is that part of the usual course of business? That's an area where I think we'll see a lot of litigation.
Now, is there going to be some kind of recourse for businesses that don't feel that they fall into that category?
What do you mean by recourse?
Well, as far as they don't meet the A, B, and C qualifications, but they don't feel that they should be an employee of that particular company. Is there any recourse for them to be categorized differently?
Yeah, so unfortunately, there's no way to get an exemption or a pre-approval, or there's no way to know ahead of time if you're analyzing this correctly. So if you retain an independent contractor model and you want to rely on an exemption or the argument that you can satisfy all three parts, A, B, and C, then you're taking your chances. And some companies will feel more confident that they can do that, and others will take steps to try to avoid the whole issue.
It's also obvious that the law is intended to protect workers, but do you see any scenarios where the opposite might happen and a new law could actually hurt workers?
I do, and I think that there's unintended consequences anytime there's legislation. Here are some things that I can imagine happening that would be unintended consequences here, for example. So you have a contractor who likes the flexibility of being able to work whenever he or she wants, as much as he or she wants. It's all extra income or primary income, whatever it is. But all of a sudden, if that person's an employee, you're going to see the new employer limiting that person to working no more than 40 hours a week to prevent overtime liability, or maybe 30 hours a week, no more than 30 hours a week to make sure that person's not benefit eligible if the business is large enough. You're going to see restrictions like you can't work more than 8 hours a day because in California there's daily overtime. You'll see restrictions like you can't incur certain expenses over a certain threshold without prior approval. You might see a reduction in pay to offset the fact that businesses have to reimburse their employees for reasonable expenses. There's also going to be administrative headaches for contractors who get converted to employees. They're going to have to start tracking their hours in ways that maybe they didn't before. Maybe they were being paid per job or per piece or in some other way. And now that overtime starts becoming a factor potentially, you're going to see a lot of contractors converted to employees who find that it's a large inconvenience and maybe without benefit.
What if an independent contractor prefers to remain as an independent contractor and they don't want to become an employee? Is there any recourse there?
Yeah, that's a question that I hear a lot. And the answer is that no, you don't get to decide. A question I often get from clients is, well, we consider the person an independent contractor. That person has agreed that he or she is an independent contractor. We have an independent contractor agreement that says everybody agrees that we're an independent contractor. But what the parties call the relationship is not relevant under the law. The law looks at the facts of the relationship. So the law will look at parts A and parts B and parts C and the facts as they relate to parts A, B, and C. And if all three parts of the test are met, it doesn't matter if a person says, well, I'd rather remain an independent contractor, or if the parties have an agreement that says that the person's an independent contractor. The law would say, no, that person is an employee.
And what are some of the risks for California businesses if they do not comply with the new law?
They're pretty extensive. So imagine you've got an independent contractor, and there are all these laws that apply only to employees. And in California, those include the minimum wage laws, the overtime laws, including daily overtime, meal and rest breaks, reimbursement of expenses. And if you think you have contractors and all of a sudden a court or an agency says that, no, in fact, those are employees and they have been employees, then all of a sudden your business is responsible for not having done those things. And so there could be liability for back payments. There could be penalties. There's actually fairly extensive penalties. There could be per violation penalties. And some aspects of California labor law even provide for criminal penalties. It can be a misdemeanor to misclassify. So it's a pretty serious issue that businesses really should pay attention to.
Okay, now in the California government system, who's going to be tasked with taking on all this new work of making sure that everyone is in compliance with the new law?
Yeah, I think there's really two ways that businesses could be hit with challenges. The most dangerous is going to be lawsuits, whether they're individual lawsuits from contractors who think that they should be classified as employees, and those are dealt with on a one-off basis, or the larger risk to businesses is class and collective actions, where a lawyer says that there's a group of contractors who are all in a similar situation, and if you got it wrong for one, you got it wrong for all of them. And then you start bringing out the calculator because you're multiplying damages times lots of different people.
Right.
So that's one area. And the other area would be that the agencies, the government, could take a look at this through an audit or a complaint, and they could determine that somebody's been misclassified.
Okay, now does this affect businesses outside of California, and do we expect to see similar laws in other states in the future?
I'd say yes and yes. For multi-state businesses, it presents particular challenges because they've got to decide if they want to treat their contractors in California differently than their contractors outside of California. And just doing that could create certain risks because it could make the contractors outside of California look more like employees. If you've got people doing the same thing outside of California as employees in California, then there could be an argument that those outside of California should also be considered employees. And there's the obvious response to that is that it's a different test, but that's certainly a concern. And Stephen, as to the other question, there are other states that are looking at the strict ABC test and thinking, well, why not here too? We should be doing more to protect our workers. Massachusetts, for example, has a strict ABC test in place. Some other states already have looser versions of an ABC test where Part B is a little bit easier to meet. And New Jersey's one for their wage and hour laws. Some other states have other versions of an ABC test, a looser version to determine whether somebody is eligible for workers' compensation coverage or unemployment coverage. But this Assembly Bill 5 and the application of this strict ABC test to workers across the state of California is the most drastic and widespread effort to apply an ABC test anywhere in the country.
Now, if someone would like to get information, more information about the ABC test and this new law in general, is there a spot that they can go to get this information?
So the playbook, which is our list of options and our brief analysis of the law, is available on our website. You could go to bakerlaw.com/theplaybook, and or you could go to our website at bakerlaw.com and search for the playbook, and you'll find it there.
Okay, Todd Leibowitz from the national law firm Baker Hostetler. We've been talking about Assembly Bill 5, AB 5, that makes it harder to classify workers as independent contractors, and hopefully he cleared up some of the questions that you may have with AB 5. So thank you once again for joining me today, Todd. Lots of great information.
Great. Thank you, Stephen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.